Model Test 8.
Section A. Directions. In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, 1 or more questions will be asked about what was said. Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Now, let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11. Can I assume the adjusted agenda meets with your approval?
I must say, I find it quite reasonable.
What will the woman probably do?
Question 12. Councillor Mannion, what do you think of the increasingly heavy traffic in the town? Surely it would be a good idea if the traffic in the town were banned altogether.
I wouldn't go along with you there.
What's the most likely relationship between the two speakers?
Question 13. Would you like to come out for a drink, Jane?
Thank you, but could I let you know in a few minutes? I'm not sure if I finished my work for today.
Where does this conversation most probably take place? Question 14. Now that you've been to so many countries, you must be able to speak several different languages.
I wish I could, but to be honest with you, I've only learnt to speak Spanish and Italian.
What did the woman say about her knowledge of foreign languages?
Question 15. It was a real bargain. That used tape recorder is in good condition and cost me only $50, barely one-third the price of a new one.
You don't say. I can't believe it.
What is the price of a new tape recorder of the same model? Question 16. Wow! I thought that the change of the chef at our school restaurant might mean better food.
I told you that you were being too optimistic. Sometimes it was salty or hard.
What did the woman think of the food at the school restaurant? Question 17.
When Jane told me that she was going to quit her job, I just thought she was joking. You know, it is nice and she is well paid.
It's true, but she says she is tired of counting others' money.
What can we learn about Jane from the conversation?
Question 18. I suppose you heard about that chunk of concrete falling onto a car in South Street yesterday, didn't you, Ted? I saw the car. It was a complete wreck.
Yes, I saw it in the paper. From a 250-feet-high building, wasn't it?
What happened to the car?
Now you'll hear the two long conversations.
Conversation 1.
Hello, Julie.
Kevin, where are you?
I'm behind this door. How did you know it was me?
I recognized your voice, of course.
Did you know dolphins can recognize each other in a similar way? Only instead of using voices, they use whistles.
How?
Dolphins are social animals that have evolved to live in an aquatic environment. Like bats, they can use sonar to locate prey by emitting different frequencies of broadband sounds called clicks. But it wasn't until the 1990s that scientists discovered that they have another kind of sound that they use for communication. That sound is a pure narrowband tone, and its frequency is modulated up and down. We call it a whistle.
Why do they need whistles?
Dolphins live in groups, usually mothers with calves or adult males with each other. Individuals in these groups help each other with hunting, scouting for food sources, or protecting each other. Since ocean water is difficult to see through, they have adopted whistles as a way to keep in touch with each other. But these whistles are not just a way to greet each other. Each individual dolphin has its own signature whistle. Like I have a voice that identifies me, when individuals get separated from each other, they will whistle to let other dolphins know not only where they are, but who they are.
That's amazing, Kevin.
Well, dolphins are amazing animals. Like humans, they have large brains for their body size. We are just starting to understand how intelligent they really are.
Questions 19 to 21 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 19.
How do dolphins recognize each other according to the conversation?
Question 20.
Why do dolphins communicate with each other in this way?
Question 21.
According to the conversation, in what way are dolphins similar to human beings?
Conversation 2. Hi, Lucy. What do you think of our children's literature class?
It looks pretty good. I was surprised to see you here. Are you also majoring in elementary education?
No, I'm not. But as a psychology major, I can use this to fulfill the requirement in developmental psychology.
Have you finished your first assignment yet? Our teacher said we should hand in the assignment on Tuesday. Ah, that's tomorrow.
Not yet. I just bought the books today. How about you?
I started this afternoon. It's great fun reading those wonderful children's stories by Dr. Thews.
Dr. Thews? I don't remember seeing his name on the reading list.
His full name is Theodore Thews Geisel. That's how it's listed in the bibliography. Dr. Thews is his pen name.
I loved reading those stories as a child. It'll be interesting to read them now from a different perspective. I guess it'll give me a good idea on how children think.
These stories are also great for classroom use.
How's that?
Well, take a typical Dr. Thews book, like The Cat in the Hat. It has a controlled vocabulary of only 200 words.
So that means the children get lots of practice in using a small number of words over and over.
Exactly. In fact, The Cat in the Hat was written primarily to show how a controlled vocabulary reader could also find reading to be interesting and fun.
Well, it sounds like all these courses are going to be interesting and fun. I think I'll get started on this reading list tonight.
Questions 22 to 25 are based on the conversation you have just heard. Question 22. What was the man's major field of study?
Question 23.
When did the conversation probably take place? Question 24.
Why would the man read children's stories? Question 25. What could be inferred about the Cat in the Hat?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices marked A, B, C, and D. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Passage 1.
Typical indicators for seasickness are a dry mouth, cold sweat, dizziness, and nausea, sometimes followed by vomiting. Medically speaking, seasickness is a variation of motion sickness or kinetosis. Though it does not always end up with the affected person feeding the fishes, it can, however, ruin a boat trip. But with the right medicine and a few useful tips, it can be kept under control. There are few things you can do to reduce the chance of feeling seasick. You should avoid alcohol and smoking at least a day before commencing with your journey. On the day you set sail, you should have slept enough and eaten small portions of food. The stomach should be neither totally empty nor totally full. It is also better to stay in midship than in the bow or stern, because that is where the sea swell is less pronounced. If you do feel unwell, the best thing to do is to go to the upper deck, get some fresh air, and fix your gaze at a point on the horizon. It's more likely you will feel ill below deck. Another good tip is to lie down in your bed, as sleeping lowers your levels of histamines. If you already know you are susceptible to seasickness, or the sea will be rough, you should take some medication before beginning the voyage.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 26.
According to the passage, what is not one of the typical indicators for seasickness?
Question 27.
Why does the speaker recommend that you stay in midship than at the bow or stern?
Question 28.
What is helpful to reduce the chance of seasickness?
Passage 2. Oprah Gail Winfrey was born on January the 29th, 1954, in a farmer family. Oprah's parents separated when she was young, leaving her to be raised by her strict grandmother. To amuse herself, Oprah began speaking and play-acting at a very early age. As a child, her favorite hobby was reading. She began reading very early, and her interest in reading eventually developed into her lifelong combat against illiteracy. Her father encouraged Oprah to read and engaged her in discussions. He demanded that his daughter add 5 new words to her vocabulary before she could have dinner each day. Oprah Winfrey won a speech contest that guaranteed her a full scholarship to the University of Tennessee. She also received an invitation to the White House Conference on Youth. At Tennessee State, Winfrey entered and won several beauty contests. She was subsequently offered a position by the local CBS affiliate television station while she was still in college. After graduation in 1976, Winfrey accepted an offer from the ABC affiliate in Baltimore. She was then assigned to an early morning talk show. By 1985, her talk show was expanded and renamed The Oprah Winfrey Show. Winfrey attracted scores of viewers, primarily women. A frank interviewer, Winfrey was equally honest when talking about herself. For years, she shared her uphill battle with her weight with her fans. Not satisfied with her success as a TV show host, Winfrey also participated in movie making in the 1980s and wrote a cookbook in 1993 that became an immediate bestseller. As the most successful woman in entertainment in America, Oprah Winfrey's extraordinary accomplishments are amazing by any standards.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 29. What happened to Oprah Winfrey's parents when she was young?
Question 30. How did Oprah Winfrey get a full scholarship to the University of Tennessee?
Question 31. What are most of Oprah Winfrey's viewers? Passage 3. Good evening. Welcome to the first meeting of our spring cycling season. It's a pleasure to see so many new faces here. I certainly hope that most of you will soon feel right at home with our group, and that bicycling will become a regular hobby for you and a part of your physical fitness routine. Some of you may not realize that the state of New Jersey offers ample opportunities for bicyclists of all abilities. We have rolling countryside, miles of beaches, lovely hills and valleys, and thousands of miles of little-used roads. Beginners will find the shore and the area south of Princeton suitable for their needs, while expert riders will discover that the steep trails in the region around High Point offer a challenge to their skill and stamina. In addition, New Jersey is rich in places of historical interest. Most are carefully preserved. All have been meticulously restored. We organize tours to a variety of places nearly every weekend. Next Saturday's tour will be a relatively easy one, from Rutgers University to the Gateway National Park. Interested cyclists should meet at 8 a.m. in the parking lot at the corner of Hamilton Street and College Avenue in New Brunswick. The minimum time for this tour is about 6 hours. We will use a buddy system throughout the ride. Each new rider should team up with a more experienced rider. If the buddies look after each other, we can be sure that no one will be left behind on the back roads. You can pick up a map of Saturday's tour at the information table before you leave this evening.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you have just heard. Question 32. What is the passage mainly talking about?
Question 33. According to the speaker, what makes New Jersey a good place to bicycle?
Question 34. What will some of the listeners probably do next Saturday?
Question 35. What is the purpose of the buddy system?
Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written. Now, listen to the passage.
If you listen to American music, watch American television, or read magazines, you will probably agree that the most popular subject of these forms of entertainment is love. Romantic love always finds an audience in the United States. Falling in love, solving the problems of love, and achieving the happy ending, the big wedding are subjects of interest to the adult as well as the teenage public. Millions of Americans celebrate Valentine's Day with special cards and gifts that announce their love to their mates, their friends, their co-workers, and their families. Popular songs tell us that all the world loves a lover. A popular saying is, "Love conquers all." Numerous columns in magazines and newspapers offer advice to the lovelorn, those with difficulties of heart. To most Americans, romantic love is central to a happy life. Not only do Americans believe in romantic love, but they also believe that it is the best basis for marriage. Despite the high divorce rate in the United States, young men and women continue to marry on the basis of romantic love. Americans consider marriage a private arrangement between the two people involved. Young Americans feel free to choose their own marriage partners from any social, economic, or religious background. The man or woman may have strong ties with parents, brothers, or sisters, but when he or she falls in love, the strongest feelings are supposed to be for the loved one. When an American couple marries, they generally plan to live apart from both sets of parents and build their own independent family structure.
Now the passage will be read again.
If you listen to American music, watch American television, or read magazines, you will probably agree that the most popular subject of these forms of entertainment is love. Romantic love always finds an audience in the United States. Falling in love, solving the problems of love, and achieving the happy ending, the big wedding are subjects of interest to the adult as well as the teenage public. Millions of Americans celebrate Valentine's Day with special cards and gifts that announce their love to their mates, their friends, their co-workers, and their families. Popular songs tell us that all the world loves a lover. A popular saying is, "Love conquers all." Numerous columns in magazines and newspapers offer advice to the lovelorn, those with difficulties of heart. To most Americans, romantic love is central to a happy life. Not only do Americans believe in romantic love, but they also believe that it is the best basis for marriage. Despite the high divorce rate in the United States, young men and women continue to marry on the basis of romantic love. Americans consider marriage a private arrangement between the two people involved. Young Americans feel free to choose their own marriage partners from any social, economic, or religious background. The man or woman may have strong ties with parents, brothers, or sisters, but when he or she falls in love, the strongest feelings are supposed to be for the loved one. When an American couple marries, they generally plan to live apart from both sets of parents and build their own independent family structure.
Now the passage will be read for the third time.
If you listen to American music, watch American television, or read magazines, you will probably agree that the most popular subject of these forms of entertainment is love. Romantic love always finds an audience in the United States. Falling in love, solving the problems of love, and achieving the happy ending The big wedding are subjects of interest to the adult as well as the teenage public. Millions of Americans celebrate Valentine's Day with special cards and gifts that announce their love to their mates, their friends, their co-workers, and their families. Popular songs tell us that all the world loves a lover. A popular saying is, "Love conquers all." Numerous columns in magazines and newspapers offer advice to the lovelorn, those with difficulties of heart. To most Americans, romantic love is central to a happy life. Not only do Americans believe in romantic love, but they also believe that it is the best basis for marriage. Despite the high divorce rate in the United States, young men and women continue to marry on the basis of romantic love. Americans consider marriage a private arrangement between the two people involved. Young Americans feel free to choose their own marriage partners from any social, economic, or religious background. The man or woman may have strong ties with parents, brothers, or sisters, but when he or she falls in love, the strongest feelings are supposed to be for the loved one. When an American couple marries, they generally plan to live apart from both sets of parents and build their own independent family structure.
This is the end of Listening Comprehension.